But before we talk about us, let's talk about Christ. Turn to Hebrews 5 to begin. We're going to talk about the goal that Christ had when he was here on earth. And I think Hebrews 5 has a good summary of that goal. If you turn to verse 8, we're going to read verses 8 and 9. Verse 8 for context, and 9 has the summary. So reading in Hebrews 5, verses 8 through 9, "Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him." I think that's a lovely summary of the goal that God and Christ had determined before he even came here on this earth. He wanted to become the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. At the beginning of verse 9 there, it says, "and once made perfect." That's always puzzled me. How can Christ become more perfect? How can Christ, who already is perfect, gain perfection? I always thought that was odd. And so I did a little digging. I read the Greek of that word "made perfect." And you can write this down if you want. It's G5048, if you like the Strong's coordinates. I really enjoy the definition, though. It does mean to make perfect in some contexts, but and another definition could mean to complete or even to accomplish. You could think to accomplish a goal. So you could read verse 9 a little differently. "And once he accomplished his goal, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him." The Greek word there is teleiao, if you want to pronounce it in our English tongue. I don't know if I did that right, but teleiao. I'm going to use that in this sermonette to kind of emphasize completion as we go throughout the rest of this sermonette. Well, let's bring it to us. Let's talk about our spiritual life, the goal we have. And you can just write down as a reference Matthew 6:33. I think most people will know this scripture. It's, "seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." This is a good summary for our spiritual goal. This is literally the ultimate goal we have for our spiritual journey, is seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If we want to expound a little bit on his righteousness, it's literally the character of God and the Father, or God the Father and Christ. And we can maybe say it a little differently. You know, maybe our goal is to complete that character within us. Teleiao, that character within us. That is our ultimate goal in our spiritual journey. Well, start turning over to John 15. I want to talk about what our goals produce in our life. And I actually think we heard this same scripture a few sermons ago, but I want to bring it out, and I think maybe I'll shed a different light on it. John 15, and we're going to read verses 5 through 8. "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Verse 6. "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, if my goal abides in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." I had the pleasure of being at a young adult weekend one time in Chicago, and we went through the fruit or the attributes of someone who is holy, who is called by God. And we actually, you could actually look at this stage, we actually had three giant whiteboards, probably as big as this stage, because we rented out this facility, and we filled up all these whiteboards of attributes, actions, things that we think a holy person shows, and it was a great exercise. But what was even more profound is we sat there afterwards looking at this whiteboard, and we all kind of came to the same conclusion after a little bit of a discussion that these attributes don't make a person holy. What makes a person holy is being called by God and given that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, put inside you through baptism. These attributes, the fruit we read, is a product of us following that ultimate goal. It's a product of us completing, teleiao, the character of Christ within us. When we think of the Feast of Tabernacles now, if we're going to go to the goal here at the feast, it doesn't change, brethren. The goal is the same. We are to seek first the kingdom of God. We are to complete that character within us. That will produce, brethren, an excellent feast. That will produce, brethren, fellowship, unity. You know, the family that Mr. Jones talked about, we can produce that by all following the same Spirit, by all being baptized under Christ, under God. I do want to have an excellent feast. I want to have great fellowship. I want to serve with one another. But all of those, maybe we can say the desire to do those, is a product of us following the same goal, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Turn to 2 Corinthians, verse 4. We're going to talk about our goal for the world tomorrow. But first, I want to make sure we're all on the same page that we cannot perfect the goal, or we cannot perfect the character or this world. We are in living in temporary bodies, brethren. I think we all know that. I think we all know we have all sinned. We have all come short of the glory of God. We are not perfect. Only Christ was perfect, and nothing will become perfect until the world tomorrow. Let's read that in 2 Corinthians here. We're going to read chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is just for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We are exceedingly looking forward to the world tomorrow, the millennium, what this week pictures. It's going to be something that I don't even know if we can imagine how good it's going to be. But I want to make it clear, brethren, the goodness that we think it's going to be, the prosperity we think of when we think of the millennium, that is all products of a new goal that God is going to give to us when we enter the millennium. I don't know if this is how God's going to say it. Maybe this is kind of an artistic rendition, but I can almost think of it when we stand there or floating there, however we're oriented as spirit beings, a new goal God gives to you. Serve in my government. The product of that, brethren, will be the prosperity we are so looking forward to in the new world. A new goal God gives to you. Help those, teach those who have come through the tribulation. The product of that will be peace. A new goal God gives to you. Perfect, complete, teleiao, the new earth. The product of that will be eternal tranquility. Brethren, I do want to have an excellent feast with all of you. I want to fellowship. I want to see God's great creation. And all of those are great, maybe sub-goals, you could say, to have during this feast. I want us to all accomplish those goals. I do want us to all remember, though, that we all share the same goal, the ultimate spiritual goal of looking to the kingdom, looking to his righteousness. And once we accomplish that goal, remember, the whole point of that goal is to get to the kingdom, which is the millennium. Once we're there, we've accomplished that goal, and God will set for us new goals that I just read. But remember, having an excellent feast, having good fellowship, are all products of that goal. They are not the goal itself. One of the things that I remember before I was baptized, I just want to bring this out. I mistakenly thought that when I looked at the fruit of all those around me that were baptized, I saw them producing kindness. I saw them producing lovingness, self-control. I thought those were the end goal, brethren. I looked and I told myself, those are going to be the goals in my life. But I decided to get baptized, and I realized I need to have my goal, the goal that Christ gave to me, following to his kingdom and his righteousness. And I realized, brethren, that those were all the fruit of following that goal. They are not the goal in and of itself. Brethren, I hope we all have an excellent feast. No, I hope we all produce an excellent Feast of Tabernacles.